guys. You are back with the Travis Jones podcast, and we have a special podcast today that's going to be one of the start of many with me and Olivia, my wife.
Prefer Liv, but thanks.
Okay. Liv, my wife. Only I call her Olivia when she's in trouble. So with these guys, we are going to be talking about how it is doing business as a partnership. How do we try and keep sane? How do we look after our kids? How do we run business? How do we not kill each other? I think that is, maybe we'll call it the Don't Kill Each Other podcast. I don't know.
How to not kill your spouse.
Yeah, exactly. So I've got a couple of things I'm going to talk about today, and we'll reel through. I'm going to surprise them on Liv as well. Yes. And we're going to talk about essentially how to run businesses together. And if you have any questions for us after this, you know, shoot us questions and we'll bring them on the next episode, because I think we actually get asked this a lot.
We do.
It's like, how do you get a word in, Liv, whenever you are sitting next to Travis?
Not a lot. Not a lot.
No, we get asked, how do you guys do business together and the family thing and life thing and spend every moment with each other because, you know, my partner irritates me. I'm just saying. Now, like, whatever the reason is, like, some people find it really hard to do with their partner. I think we have some great ground rules, on how we do it together as a team. So I've got very broad strokes with the stuff I'm going to talk about today. I think the first thing is communication. So what I want to just basically, what is your idea that is communication inside a relationship?
My idea, probably very different to yours because, you know, I'm a girl, so I over communicate. I think, like, for us, we've been very, or I know for me, frustratingly even sometimes, very open and honest about what I want or what I need or what annoys me at the, because I don't think there's any point pretending that you don't annoy each other like every normal like relationship. But I think we're very open and honest about the things that we want, the things that we expect, the things that we need, and the things that annoy us. And we do it at the time rather than ever letting it really bottle up into something humongous, because I think across all the things that we do manage, and while we're trying to keep the relationship and the spark there as well, like that romance, you need to make sure you're leaving the shit at the work door, you need to make sure you're leaving the home shit at home, and operating in whatever sphere you have to be in.
I feel like since being married to me, Liv swears a lot more as well
now.
Guys,
so. I used to say for cuck.
Yeah, now she
and
says
now I say
fuck,
fuck
you, motherfucker. So I feel
true.
Like I've been
tainted
actually,
me.
I have in many ways, giving you a bad rap because she has taken on my cursing. So communication, I think for me, is me, I say okay a lot. Communication for me, like in our relationship.
That's passive aggressive when you say okay. That's when I know the shit's really hit the fan.
Is being able to also understand why am I responding in this manner? Because I think a lot of the time we have a first answer that we'll say, and then you also have to, you know, looking at it, you know, the stimulus to response, right? So the stimulus, say, in any event, whether it be in work or at home, I'm an extremely frustrating human being, guys, so please remember that. And Liv also can be someone who understands how to frustrate me. So what I look at is, yeah, as everyone, right? Like, if you're surrounding yourself with each other 24 hours a day, literally wake up until you go to bed, we're next to each other, what happens is there is going to be very easy ways to get on the other person's nerves. So when I look at Liv and when she says something that can frustrate me sometimes, what instead of just responding, instead of being reactive, it's being proactive. So instead of automatically choosing a conscious sort of behavior, choosing the incorrect emotion or choosing incorrect words, I am trying to, and I have tried for the last couple of years, really enlarging the gap between stimulus and response. So if Liv says something, I like think, what is the best outcome to respond to this situation or this scenario? And if I respond in one way, is it going to escalate the situation? And why am I trying to escalate the situation? Or what am I getting out of it by escalating the situation? Or I can choose another way and try and see it from Liv's perspective. So it's breathe in for 1, 2, 3, and then choose a better quality emotion. Don't even get frustrated at all, because there's so many things we can get frustrated at, which really we can choose not to get frustrated at, because if you can just move past the situation, it's gone in probably 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and you can move on to the next thing. So I think in any relationship that is close, and especially with, like, you know, 80% of business owners actually being in a relationship as a family business, I think the, and this is for me, like, I can understand that enlarging the stimulus and response. And when me and Liv do argue, I work at like 10% of my capacity. How do you work it?
Probably 20.
Yeah, 20. Always better.
No, like, we do, I think, but you touched on something there, like, with your last few years. And I think it's really important for everyone to understand that, like, for us, it wasn't like we fell into this awesome rhythm from the minute we started working, dating, engaged, married, kids, the whole thing. It wasn't like this just magically fell together. I think we had a really good basis because we knew each other really well, friends, we had a lot of respect for each other, and our differing opinions. We came into this with very distinct skill sets, but a deep respect, I think, at least, for each other and our values and what we wanted to achieve in life and our goals. So I think there was a lot of a base, a very solid foundation. But then over time, I think particularly, like, with your short fuse and my ability to be quite stubborn, we've had to work on those as individuals to be a better couple. And I think one of those things, you know, for you, and I think for a lot of guys, is that testosterone response, where it is like you just need to extend that gap a little bit. And essentially for us, I think it's diffused about 80% of our arguments.
Yeah, I think kids definitely did it, because my ability to be patient has definitely increased with kids, because obviously
you have to.
You have to.
can't yell at a toddler who just throws food at you.
It is kind of the wrong thing. But I think, yeah, definitely, like, looking at that, you know, we have to understand frustration, we have to understand ourselves, and you can only work on yourself, and your relationship will only be as good as you feel. So if Liv is feeling bad about herself, if I am feeling bad about myself, I go through my peaks and troughs. I'll talk about that in a second. And that, you know, the relationship is going to suffer as well. So I think you have to continue to work on yourself, your own self-development, your own self-identity, and your own ability for personal development. And if you grow and your partner chooses not to grow, you'll actually outgrow your partner. And they can also resent you for it. So it's important, if one of you is growing, that you actually both are choosing to grow together or separately, but you're both on this growth pathway. You don't have a fixed mindset. You know that you're constantly trying to evolve to the next version of yourself. You both have similar goals and understand, no, you also understand what your role is.
Yes.
In achieving those goals. Like, me and Liv have very clear understandings in the roles. And I think, you know, the clearer you are, and also you weren't forced into those roles. I think you were forced sometimes, but I think of necessity. But I think, and also I was forced, and I resented some of it sometimes as well, out of necessity. But I think if you understand what my role is, if you understand what I'm trying to get to work towards, you can also go, I'm happy to do this role right now because I know this is for us.
And
I know where we're going. And I know as long as I'm going there with you, then everything's okay.
And I think, like, you know, we talk a lot about couples in relationships, but obviously, like, for us, you know, over, you know, the 8 years or so that we've been coaching, like, there's a lot of people that we work with that have partners that perhaps aren't, they don't see them as being supportive. But I think a lot of the time it is that lack of communication. They go to work or to the gym, in our case, you know, they do what they have to do. They come home, they bring all that fear, that resentment, that exhaustion home. And their partner has no idea why, they can't help, because they're not communicating to them, this is what I need to achieve in the next 90 days, because they're not even sure.
No.
So they're just coming home and they're just so mad and so tired and so overwhelmed, but they feel like, you know, their partner's not supporting them, but really they're probably just asking them to fucking talk to them.
But a lot of the time it's like, and I'm not saying this is always the guys and the females are home, but let's go stereotyping for a second. Let's be stereotyping. A lot of the times, a male, if they are running the business and their partner is having a job or they're at home, that's okay. Either
it's
way,
a pretty big job anyway.
No, well, I don't mean if they have kids, but I mean like just in general, if the partner's at home or if they, like, trust me, there's no way I could spend like days on end at home by myself with the kids. Like, that is the hardest work I've ever tried to do. The weekends are so much more tiring than the weekdays for me. So that is not what I was trying to say. But when I look at it, I'm trying to, it's understanding the fact that males do not talk. And I think these males come home and they might have, the leads are slow, the sales aren't coming in, the cash flow is tight, they're fucking don't know what to do, the stress is through the roof, their partner says, how was your day? And then they just snap back. And their partner doesn't even understand what the fuck they're going through.
Yeah.
And they didn't even communicate. And then they're like, you just don't understand. It's like, well, no, you didn't give them even the ability to understand.
Yeah.
And you have to look at it from the other perspective, because perspective is everything, or perception is everything, right? So all they're doing is, say they were doing their own job, or say they were at home with the kids, or whatever it was, they were looking forward to seeing you, because that's hopefully you look forward to seeing your partner, and they might have had a stressful day as well, right? And all they do is they come home and they look to have a communicate with you, and all of a sudden it's like bam, big punch in the face. And then after a while, what happens is your partner will retreat, but they also resent work, because work gets a lot of you. Work gets sometimes the best part of you.
Mm-hmm.
And then all they do is they get this angry motherfucker coming at them, and it's like, you're this because of work.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll resent every moment that you're away from them. And then all of a sudden they resent your business growth, because the bigger it grows, then they might have this idea that the more of an asshole you become.
Well, they just don't feel secure. And I think, like, again, like a huge stereotype, but, you know, I've talked about it a lot, is that arguably, you know, most men are driven by the need to provide. And most women need to feel safe and protected. And that's just evolutionary. Men have to be prepared to go out and get the mammoth, and the women have to be prepared to sit at home in the cave and protect the family and feel safe, because that's their role. And I think, you know, you touched on roles, and you touched on, you know, the different personality types that are just inherent in us. And I think that there is nothing wrong with females wanting and being attracted to men who can provide and protect. That's just evolution. We want to find the strongest mate. And so I think for men, when women don't feel protected, that's typically when people start to feel that they're going elsewhere, that they're separating, that they're, you know, feeling as though they might be better off finding another partner. Not because they don't love this person, but because they're not communicating with them, they don't feel safe, and they feel like, they want love work more than their family. And I think we've all seen it time and time again.
It comes down to exactly what you said. It's just security at the end of the day. Everyone wants to feel secure in the relationship. One, the female wants to feel security, as in, like, you can say you don't want to feel looked after.
Well, it's not just money, right?
It's not money. That's what I mean. Like, looked after, being cared for, sometimes provided for.
Intruders.
Emotionally. No, exactly. Intruders. Like, whenever I'm not at home, you're like, you don't feel sleep, right? No. You don't feel as safe in the house.
No.
But, like, security is, like, communication.
Yeah.
Like, security is being open. It's being honest. It's being vulnerable when you need to. And, like, you know, a male coming home is actually saying, this is what I'm going through. Or going, you know what? This is probably the best part of communication. You know what? It's been a long fucking day. Like, please don't ask me a question for the next 60 minutes. And then in 60 minutes, can we please, I really want to tell you what I'm going through, but I honestly need to breathe for 60 minutes, and this is not a reflection of you and my love for you, but it's what I need as a person right now. Can you give me that?
Hmm.
I think if you came home saying that in that way, what do you think you would say? Would you say, fuck you?
Would you like a whiskey with that?
And then she'd get naked and we'd have sex. Is that what happens? Is that, no, sorry, I was just dreaming. Now what?
Well, obviously, before kids, maybe, but in front of the kids, that would be awkward.
Yeah. So what would you say if I said that?
No, I think that's exactly what people just want, the security that they're being heard and that they're important. And I think that, you know, all of us want, you know, when you look at the six human needs, significance and certainty are the top two. And I think if you're not giving your partner significance, and not in the way of arrogance or words of affirmation, and that comes back to love languages, obviously, but you know, when you look at your partner, and if you truly know your partner, you know what they need, and you know the language, you know the communication style, and you understand how you need to talk to them. I think for a lot of times when we look at people who work together or don't, you know, are coming home in this scenario from two separate worlds, you just need to be open and honest about what do they need right now. And I think brave enough to sometimes do what is best for them, and in turn they will do the same for you, because relationships are just about reciprocation and about learning the different communication side.
But it's also relationships about not having expectation.
Definitely, and not making assumptions and all of those things.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, if you're always trying to look after and do the best thing by the person that you love, then,
yeah,
you know, even repetitive patterns and habits, you just naturally become these two people that, for the most part, because let's not pretend that we don't all have bad days, but for the most part, you have a really positive, even in, and I think that's why for us, no matter what we're going through, it is, no matter what challenge in our life, we know we've always got each other.
Do you think intent matters?
In what regard?
So when you're saying that, it's like the intent, like I guess coming home and being in, having the right intentions as far as your communication.
Yeah, definitely.
Or what you're trying to get out of the situation.
Definitely. Definitely. I think intention is very important in everything you do.
Mm. So I guess looking at left now, if we go, what about your partner's alter ego and how do you deal with them?
Who's your alter ego?
I would say that I'm like Travis, and then I'm like some like grumpy motherfucker as well.
Oh, the version of you that no one really sees.
Yeah. Like there's a version of me that society gets and every single other person gets and Liv gets, but there's also a version of me that Liv only gets and the rest of the world does not see.
Yeah.
So that person is second guesses themselves. That person gets down. That person is lost a lot of the time. That person feels like they're not enough. That person gets frustrated with what's happening as far as like within myself. I get frustrated. So with that, like that person does not vibrate on a higher vibration, right? Like, so like in life, I would say that I have a very high state, high energy. And that is, I am also very extroverted outside, inside my work life and all that sort of stuff. But in my home life, I am very introverted. And at times, I can bring a lower vibration.
Mm.
So, how do you deal with that?
Well, I think everyone has to have enough self-awareness to know that we all have those doubts. I think it's just in your relationship, often you see the full spectrum of that alter ego, if you want to call it that. But I think sometimes, especially for those of us who, you know, do run our own businesses, you don't have the opportunity to ever switch off. So I think it is quite an exhausting role that we play. But I think for you and I, like, honestly, it's that part of you is part of you, and I knew that was part of you, you know, from all, like, I knew you for a long time before I was crazy enough to date you, but I think it's part of the roller coaster, and I think a lot of that comes back from being aware as to why you feel that way. And because you and I do have really good communication, and I do have a very big awareness of what's going on around us. So I understand if you're frustrated, I understand if you're overwhelmed, I understand if you're feeling stagnant, because I can see it happening. And I think that comes down to knowing your partner as well, and knowing, like you even said, how to irritate each other. You also know very well the external stimulus that will irritate your partner. And I think managing that and adjusting your behavior or the scenario or the environment to try and offset that as much as possible. But sometimes it's just listening to the...
How do you get me out of it? How do you get me out of it then?
Is this a PG-rated show?
Well, you can say anything you want.
I think there's a couple of things that will guarantee to get you out of it. I think obviously intimacy is something that a lot of people crave when they're not feeling secure or they're not feeling comfortable.
Well, when you're stressed, you want to have sex.
Yes.
Well, I do.
Mm. So I think obviously
it's a release.
But it's also connection, right? And I think it's giving you back something.
Well, isn't it? It's like certainty and connection
and love
and I'm
physical touch and all these growth. I think that all of these things, it is it's a very important part of relationships, and I think it's something that, you know, we all joke and we all dance around, but ultimately if you lose that physical part of your relationship or that ability to be physical, and I know a lot of people in relationships use it as a trading currency, and I think that's always a very negative view on what should be something that, for the most part, you know, we always had a joke, you're never too tired, right? Like,
they're saying having sex?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're never too tired.
We're still in the same place right now.
We're never too tired.
No, we're too tired. I think so. I think it's not making excuses, right?
Exactly. Because once we make an excuse, it just becomes a pattern.
Becomes a habit, right? Because I think, you know, if you break the chain, it's very easy to break the chain. I'm not saying you have to have sex every day, but it's a good thing.
It is.
But I think for you, I think it's understanding that intimacy, like being intimate, isn't just having sex.
No, it is for us. It's obviously touch.
Like I'm a very physical person, so like I'm always touching Liv. I'm always grabbing Liv. And that's for our kids. They can see that I'm a very openly loving person.
Our 4.5-year-old started tapping
Jack's,
my butt.
Jack smacks Liv on the butt. Liv's like, please don't. Because he sees me smack her on the bum. I'm hoping he's
not like wax, but like, you know, like, little taps.
I'm hoping he's not going around crash and like tapping girls on the butt.
Is,
he probably
both
is.
Both our kids
know.
Have girlfriends.
So with this, I think it's good for them to see how much I love you, but they also can see how much I am affectionate as far as, you know, I hug you, I touch you, I hold you, I care for you.
Yeah.
I, you know, let them know that, you know, we talk to them all the time about, you know, you always look after a female, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, especially with Jax, it's him understanding that males are essentially a stronger human being. Like, we are physically stronger.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have to care for a female.
Yeah.
But I think it's a good thing. I think it's understanding how to get people out of it. Do you think you have an alter ego?
Oh, I don't know. I think I definitely have a very stubborn...
I think Liv's is the other spectrum. Her alter ego is... No, you go. You keep going, actually. I'm not going to interrupt you. You tell me.
No. I mean, I think it's always, I think for you, yours is a very obvious alter ego. I think I have a stubborn version of myself that will continue to do things regardless. I don't really ask for help. So I will just say that I'm fine and then I'll just drown trying to fix it all. But I think also I give over too much of myself to solve other problems.
I don't think that's your alter ego. I think that is your fucking
personality. That is who I am.
That's your personality.
Well, yeah, like
the reason I fell in love with Liv is because she was so stubborn and she's so smart and she's so driven. I fell in love with her because she wasn't the person that says yes. And I think it's very easy to be with the person that says yes because it's easy for you to live life.
Mm.
And I wasn't looking for a wife who was going to make it easy for me to live life. I wanted to find a wife who actually pushed me to my potential in life. And I think that's why I picked you. Because like you get the best out of me. And if not, I'd be coasting. And
you get bored. And you're pretty destructive when you're bored.
Exactly. I'm not a good human being. I think your alter ego is not that at all.
Really?
I think your alter ego is when you get drunk.
Oh.
I love Liv's alter ego. I try and get her drunk every Friday.
Like, he Liv's really does.
Liv's alter ego is like, let's go to the strippers. Liv's alter ego.
One time!
Liv's alter ego is a very... I'm
not very straight-laced.
No, she's not very straight-laced, I think. So, you know, I think, you know, I don't have a problem with your alter ego whatsoever.
Well, that's a different thing. Like, you don't become a grumpy man when you're drunk.
No, exactly. I think for me, I just go back into introverted self, and I think that is, you know, it's not who you are, but you are very certain, you are very stubborn. That is like your personality, right? And some people might find that highly irritating. I don't find it highly irritating. I find that, like, I know what I get with you, and I know, you know, how to get the best out of you, and I know that I need to care for you. But also, I know that if Liv gets stuck in that for too long and actually doesn't get the drunk Liv or her out, then she can start to slip into some form of, you know, you've never been depressed, but you can slip into some form of
Repetition.
Repetition, like, started to get a bit stale. Mm. And I think Liv needs to let go, and I have to force her to. And it's actually sometimes a bit of an argument on dad nights. I'm like, drink. She's like, I'm not getting drunk. I was like, I have a fucking drink.
We have to get take the kids to swimming.
Yeah, I know. So it's hard sometimes.
At 9 a.m.
It's hard, but I need to force her.
Finn wakes up at 6:30.
I need to force her into this alter ego, because, like, she actually lets go. And because it's not, she hasn't let go enough, you know, all of a sudden, like, she's this, like, super fun, super funny person. But it's understanding, like,
funny.
For me, Liv needs to bring me out of my alter ego. For me, I need to push Liv into her alter ego.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Yeah.
I never really thought of it that way.
Yeah, I do.
There you go.
Many levels.
Many levels.
I'm very deep.
Basically, you're just looking for an excuse to get me drunk.
No, I never look at that. It's like, so it's tonight, it's Friday. I just have to,
date night.
Hey, Liv. I'm going to go for that alter ego today for you, and
for me.
I'm doing it for you.
You're so
because cool. That's what you need.
Such a great
Now, my last question for today. How do you switch between being a business partner,
mm-hmm.
between being a mum,
mm.
and then between being a sexy vixen?
It's a really hard one, because I think everyone struggles with this. I think I've had to... The arrival of kids obviously actually made it easier to slip out of businesswoman. Like, I think the hardest thing for us over life, and I think a lot of people who've watched our journey for as long as we've been together, well, you know, like, what, like 7-8 years now,
yeah.
I think when they've watched that journey, I think a lot of people have been surprised at from the outside, is how easily we've constantly evolved into our new roles in our life. You know, from being, you know, friends to, like, how naturally we became a couple to how naturally we became parents and working together and the whole thing. But I think for us, leaving work became instantly easy the minute our kids became aware. Like, I'm not going to fib, like, we worked really hard when Jax was young, because obviously he was such a surprise. So he came along with us everywhere. So I think Jackson was probably more exposed to workaholic.
He was in cafes. He was in, you know, Belfast for 4 weeks. He went to, he's gone across.
He was in Sydney for a seminar in 2 weeks.
He used to sleep in the seminars.
Yeah, right? like, you know, he would come along to meetings. He would come everywhere. Like, he flew so much that by the time Jackson turned two, he's already. I think the hardest part is work to wife, because we work together.
Mm. I agree.
You do?
Mm.
Mm. I think one of the best things we ever did was structured date night, because I think you get so busy that you actually have excuses even for your personal life, because you are always busy. I don't remember a time we aren't.
But I think the biggest thing that would hold people back from date night is, like, oh, I can't afford date night.
I think it's a non-negotiable for us.
But why? Does it have to cost money?
No.
Exactly. So, guys, stop your fucking excuses. So, like, no, but seriously, right? Like, for us, we'll go to Gold Class sometimes, then we'll have a glass of wine, or we'll go for a glass of wine, then go out for dinner, or we'll just go and have a glass of wine.
Yeah.
Or you can go sit in the fucking park, right? Like, your date
night... It's just spending time together.
Your date night is just, you know, you're putting... And it doesn't mean you don't have to not talk about work.
And we always talk
about
work.
Yeah, we do. But it's not... You're not distracted, right? You're spending one-on-one time about your hopes.
We've got a strict no-phone time.
Yeah, yeah, it's no phones. It's like... your hopes, your dreams, how you're feeling, it's connecting, making sure that I'm, you know, being that person that you need me to be. You mean I'm getting Liv drunk and she's being the person I need her to be. I think, you know, it's the time that I do have that non-negotiable together.
Yeah, but it's also not being parents. And I think that's what makes the whole thing as a triangle quite difficult, is that when you're at home not working, you're still a parent, which means there's no real sexy vixen when you've got toddlers and
it's
food
kind of
and
hard. But that's also why you get your hair done on Fridays, right?
I do. I've been doing it now for about a year now, over a year. So every Friday I go down to the girls and get my blow wave done or something fun done. And that is sort of a hallmark to the fact that it's about being, well, the girl that you were before everything was crazy and kids and every excuse under the sun as to why you can't do it. And I completely appreciate that we're very lucky that we can afford it, but I think there are other ways that you can express. I think you've got to look at what you means something to you.
But there has to be a switch, right? It's like, okay, it's date night.
Yeah.
Because like, and for me, I think, yes, you have blowover, then you work all day, mm-hmm. and then we're with the kids, and then it's date night.
Yes.
But for me, like, the blowover significant, like, signifies. Yeah, it signifies.
Mm.
Yeah, you're not going out. Liv's not going out, like, just pampering herself.
No.
It, like, she should more often. But I'm just saying, this signifies it's Friday. Mm. It signifies it's date night.
Yeah.
It signifies, like, for me, like, our togetherness, and I'm not getting the blow over,
but it's so important, and I think it's something that, you know, I particularly really struggle with my personality type, is femininity. Like, obviously in work you have to be a certain personality type, as a parent you have to be a certain personality type, but I think in our relationship it becomes very blurred, and I think, you know, you need to sometimes tap into that femininity, and it's something that I had to work on, was my ability to be vulnerable. And part of that is blow wave, being, you know, pretty, wearing the dress, wearing the heels.
I think it comes down to you growing up.
Growing up?
100%. You were supposed, Liv's dad may have wanted her to be a boy.
I did.
I think, you know, you were growing
up. Oh, me growing up.
Yeah, you growing up. Like,
me growing up.
No,
now.
You didn't grow up in a relationship, trust me.
I was like, really?
No.
Which
no.
part of me was the immature me?
Yeah, you were so mature. No, it's more so the fact that Liv struggled the feminine side of her because it was squashed for so long.
Hmm.
I feel like also...
It wasn't
then,
valued.
No, but also then the job that she had before us working together, the feminine side of her was not nurtured. Also, she had to be the masculine version of her, which is fine. But I think for so many females, they get so used to being the masculine version of themselves because they have to be.
Hmm.
Then they struggle switching back to the feminine version of Definitely. Themselves that their partner needs them to be.
Yeah. Because and again, that's stereotypical,
like,
but
yeah,
I think it's,
no,
true.
It's true.
It's
right?
What,
like,
we believe anyway.
That's what I believe. And
yeah.
I'm sure that a lot of females will say anything to, like you're wrong, whatever it is. It's like, but that's your perspective. That's your opinion, right? Everyone has an opinion, and that's okay. And I'll respect your opinion, and you have to respect mine.
Yeah.
But I need the feminine version of Liv in our relationship. That doesn't mean you don't have an opinion. Liv has very strong opinions, okay? But I need her to be nurturing. I need her to care for me. I need her to look after me. I want you, like, to do your hair. Like,
yeah.
I do, and you, and that's why you do it.
Definitely, I do it for you.
Yeah. So it's like, you don't get a blowaway for you, you do get a blowaway for me.
It's true, and it's very contentious. Like, I enjoy it. I'm not going to say I don't, but I do it more for what it means for you in our date night than I do it for myself. Like, everyone who knows me as a single me would just put her hair up in a
ponytail. Also, you dress up for me as well.
I do,
you
dress
know,
up.
That I'm like, I
know, I went to wear pants once.
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck are you
wearing?
It's not a power suit sort of fucking date. What are you trying to do? Fucking get a, you know, trying
it was,
to sell me a
it
deal?
Was, it was winter.
Trying to sell me a deal right now?
Yeah.
I was like, but yeah, I'm not buying it.
I bought it years ago.
But I think for Liv, again, it's the feminine side. Like, it doesn't mean you have to get, like,
it's not florals.
It's not like,
you know, 1950s apron crap.
It's 100% not me.
No.
But, like, I like your hair done.
Yeah,
like,
you do.
I like you.
But you also like baking, like when I'm baking with the kids or when we cook or
like
when we make dinner. And
looking after the family.
Yeah.
Like, it's but you... Do you
it's
understand
my personality
that?
Type.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think that comes down to compatibility too, because that's, you know, like when you look and I know we like gloss over it, like love languages, like acts of service is a love language. And so for me, that's probably the driving force as to how I show love is by acts of service or acts of what I think will keep everyone happy.
Do you think I switch between being working... and a dad and a husband?
I think we all struggle with that.
No, do
you
think I switch? Do you think there's a different version of me between the three?
No. I think of the two of us, I think you struggle
more. I'm a highly affectionate person.
You are.
In every aspect of our life. will be at work and I'm highly affectionate and inappropriate. Mm. We're at home and I'm highly affectionate with the kids and inappropriate. And we're in public and I'm highly affectionate and inappropriate.
Very inappropriate.
And even when I date nights, I am highly affectionate and inappropriate.
Yeah.
I think that this more so...
You struggle to switch off from work more.
I do. I find it hard because I feel... Not that I feel that I... Like, my brain runs at different tempo to yours, but I feel that I am slightly more ADD than
yeah.
you, and I feel like I find it harder to switch off, and I get better at it. I have times where I'm better,
you
and
do.
I have times where I'm worse.
You ebbs and flows.
And when I'm stressed, I am worse at it, and when I'm not stressed, I am great at it. I don't have to check
yeah.
things.
I think it's your alter ego, right?
Yeah,
like when
I
you
switch
are stressed,
back into it.
You switch into... the
Hulk.
Reclusive
yeah.
Hulk, where you sit there and
yeah.
like, don't ask me what I'm doing or I'm going to lose my shizzle.
Yeah.
Don't play that damn YouTube
yeah,
song
exactly.
one more time.
But I think, like, but Liv knows that. And you know that what I'm going through personally and
yeah.
how, which Liv, you also know when to tell me to pull my head in, when not to.
Yes.
Because I guess it's the same as stimulus and response, right?
Yeah.
Do you think I struggle switching from dad to husband?
No.
Not as much as
not
you
as
switch?
Much.
Trouble?
No,
yeah.
I don't think for you do. I think I really think for you the kryptonite is work, and obviously as you've pointed out, alter ego, my kryptonite is relaxing,
mm.
like becoming a different version of me that I think I have to be in order to do all the things that we do.
I'm glad I planted this seed on this podcast.
Oh, look at that.
About Liv's alter ego.
You're,
then tonight,
you're winning.
See, this is the strategy that I play on multiple levels.
Mm, so strategic.
You don't even know. Liv
you're
doesn't
so
even,
clever.
Thank you. See, this is Liv fluffing up my significance right now. We're playing strategy on so many different levels.
Mm.
But yeah, guys, that is...
Like
that
3D
is,
chess.
That's me. that is... Episode 1 of me and Olivia.
Me and Liv.
Yeah,
okay.
Me and Liv. And that's the Travis Jones podcast. Any questions, guys, hit us up. We will come through. Maybe I'll write another 5 topics and surprise you next time.
I don't know.
And
maybe someone can ask other questions
yeah.
and then it's out of your hands.
I like questions. More about Liv's alter ego. Ask questions about what happens in her alter ego. And give me some questions on that.
Maybe not.
All right, guys. Peace out.